normal on Wednesday night, and we'll try to finish up a few minutes early so we can pack the bags. Like Brother Raji said, even if it does rain, they have the school down there. They're going to open up and put booths inside the school, and so we'll be able to still give out the bags that we make. So right after the service, Brother Derek will be instructing how to put the bags together, and I believe we have 525 of them to put together. So the more the merrier and the quicker that it'll go. This sermon tonight, when I read you the title, I could say that there's no useless sermon, the title, let me go ahead and give you, and you'll understand what I'm saying. The title is How to Deal with Sin. How to deal with sin. And I know with this crowd, we don't have that to deal with, right? Because we're all perfect and we've got it going on, and we don't need to know how to deal with sin. But all of us struggle with it, from the pastor all the way to the newest member, and the devil's going to make sure of that. And again, what we just heard Brother Dave talk about, that's just the results of sin. And turning from God and trying to find other ways to heaven besides the true God and things like that. But sin, from the day that Satan committed the first one and he got kicked out of heaven, and of course he talked Adam and Eve into sinning, and then so forth and so on. And so everybody's had to deal with it. So we need to know how to deal with it. And so I have an outline. Obviously, this is not even going to touch the hem of the garment as far as how to deal with sin. But I've got a couple of things here that I believe that will help us. And if I had to have one word, if somebody says, how do you deal with sin? And if I could only use one word, I would say immediately. All right, immediately. How to deal with sin? Immediately. Most of us, we'll do that later. I went and saw Mrs. Marion in the hospital. And she's one of those ladies that's pretty tough. The first infection, she didn't even slow down, didn't even realize she had it, and just going about her day. And of course, that infection moved into her kidney, and so then that started giving her a little bit of uncomfortable. But she just kept on going, and then of course it got worse. And her normal doctor's visit today, they said you need to go straight to the hospital. And so a lot of people deal with sin like that. I'm all right. I'll just tough it out. I can just go on with my life, things like that. No, we need to do it immediately. And that's the way we are. Sometimes a doctor will tell us that, if you get a little sniffle or if you get a little fever, things like that. Well, it just has to run its course. No matter what you do, you're going to have a couple of days where you're going to deal with that. But sin's not like that. We don't need to let it stay around. We need to get rid of it immediately. And so we see that the one word dealt with how to deal with sin would be immediately. The word immediately basically means without interval of time. In other words, don't let any time go by. As soon as you recognize it, deal with it right then. In other words, if you and your beloved are having we won't call it an argument, we'll call it a discussion. All right, and you feel that you're getting in the flesh. Okay, of course, if we say something, do something in the flesh, that is a sin. Because we're appealing to our flesh, not our spirit. And so we go to say it, and it makes our flesh just feel good. But that little small voice inside of us, the Bible says that still small voice, will say, that's not the right attitude. That's not how you should respond to that. And what our flesh wants us to do is say, hush! And you squish that spirit. It just made me feel good, so I'll deal with that later. And what does the Bible talk about? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. But what most of us do, we'll get mad or we'll sin, and we'll just, not dealing with it, and we go to lay down. And the Bible talks about how that if you're right with God and the Spirit's pleased with you, you have sweet sleep. Just like we talked about Sunday, that sweet-smelling savor that the Lord likes. When we go to sleep and we're right with God, right with our spouse, right with everybody else, we have sweet sleep. But if we've not done it immediately, if we've appealed to our flesh and did what our flesh wanted to do, we go to try to sleep and we're just like, we're tossing and turning. Why? Because we didn't deal with it. We're letting the sun go down upon our wrath. And I've been there. I've had to wake my wife up because she didn't do wrong. I was the one that did wrong. But she's over there, and I won't be like, she wasn't snoring or anything, but she's over there sleeping, sweet sleep. And I'm like, honey, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have had that opinion, or I shouldn't have had that attitude. I'm sorry. And then once that's done, Lord, please forgive me. Okay. Then I can go to sleep. But we ought to deal with it immediately. Because usually what we do, if we'll stop and deal with it immediately, we won't dig that hole. But most of us, we keep running here and we're just like, we're just going on down. Because we didn't deal with it immediately. That's why the Holy Spirit speaks in that small, still voice. Hey, don't think like that. Hey, don't respond like that. Hey, don't react like that. And if we'll immediately say, you're right, Holy Spirit. You're right, God. No holes dug. No apologies needed. We deal with it immediately. So how to deal with sin, we ought to deal with it immediately. So without interval of time, don't let time go by. The Bible says straightway. That's how it says it. I mean, you can look through that Bible. If you have a Bible app, you can look up the word straightway, and it's just all the way through it. How should we deal with sin? Straightway. Immediately. And Jesus, when He healed people, the lame man or the person with leprosy, the Bible says, and they went away straightway. Some of these movies out there, they predict, the lame man when Jesus said be healed, and they're kind of like, standing up and they're no, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, and straightway, they were able to run and leap. You know, God's healing doesn't have to just kind of work its way in. If God says you're healed, you're healed. You're not like lame over here and then you have to go to therapy and do some, jumping jacks, things like that. And then a couple weeks later, you're fine. No, if God said, be healed, straightway, you're healed. That's how God deals with it. Boom, immediately. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You've all heard this statement. Immediately, if not sooner. All right, if there is any way to do it sooner than immediately, do it. So anytime that Holy Spirit pricks your spirit or pricks your heart and says, don't respond that way. Don't think that. Don't say that. Immediately deal with it. If not, you're going to have some issues because it's not going to just fix itself. We're going to have to take care of it. So we're going to look, by way of introduction, three things. How to deal with sin. First of all, about number one in my introduction is this. Don't keep fueling it. Don't keep fueling it. And I'll read a verse, Proverbs 26, verse 20. That's where we are. And we're going to use the principle out of this verse. Proverbs 26, 20 says this, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Right now, I have a little push button in my basement right by my recliner. And I can go, boop, and there's a fire. There's actually heat coming out of it. I can put it on the thermostat, and it actually will blow heat out. But that's not the real thing. I mean, I went to Cracker Barrel the other day. Oh my goodness, they have the real thing. And you know what? They set me three sections over and I couldn't even see it. Well, come on! I went over there where the fire was and there was like three people in there. There was like 60 in this little corner where we were. I want to see the fire. All right, I want the real deal. But where there's no wood, what happens? The fire goes out. And it goes on to say, so where there's no tale-bearer, the strife ceases. So the principle here is quit putting wood on the fire. If the Holy Spirit points out a sin, don't say, I'm not dealing with it now, and put another log on it. That's about the dumbest thing. My flesh wants to do this, and you put another log on it. You're just keeping on fueling it. And obviously, anybody that's ever battled addiction or any type of sin like that, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Put another log on it. The person that has their first sip of alcohol, they get that rush. They get that feel. But for too long, that's not enough. They got to have more. Drugs, more. Pornography, more. Any sin that we can think, they got to have more of it. They want to keep putting wood on it, keep fueling it. So if we do have a sin, don't keep fueling it. Don't put any more there. So the principle here is, if I can apply this to anything, yes, I can. If the person that's running off at the mouth, the tale-bearer, whether it be discord, whether it be strife, whether it be gossiping, things like that, if they'll stop talking, the strife ceases. But we know the story. The person that's a gossip or a tale-bearer, they just blah, 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 and they're going to keep running that trap, and that's fueling the fire. But if they would just stop, the strife would cease. So don't keep fueling it. Ephesians 4:27. I'll read these to you. You don't have to turn there. But Ephesians 4:27 says this, neither give place to the devil. So if we're how do we deal with sin? Stop it immediately. Why? The devil is going to give you that temptation. The devil is going to give you that, I guess, fleshly desire, whether it be to respond or to say or to do. But if we stop and don't give him any place, he can't make you do it. Don't give any place to that devil. So in other words, if the person is trying to stop drinking, going and hanging out at the bar is probably not the best place to do it. Why? Because he's giving place to the devil. If I am trying to quit gossiping or quit spreading slander on somebody, maybe I need to put my phone down. Maybe I just need to stop talking. Otherwise, you're giving place to the devil. And you're still involved in it. So if we're trying to quit, how to deal with sin? Stop it immediately. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Just stop. Don't give him the supplies or he'll keep running with it. Romans 13:14, listen to this verse. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You all have seen the little bracelets that people wear or the shirts that people wear, WWJD. What would Jesus do? So how do I deal with sin? Ask myself that the question. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm putting Jesus in this situation. What would he say? How would he respond? What would he think? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then here it is, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So how do I deal with sin? Immediately. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How would he take care of this? Why? Because I don't want to make any provision for the flesh. If a person having something, a problem with a certain area, don't give more provisions to the flesh. So, number one, by the way of introduction, how to deal with sin immediately. Do not keep fueling it. Number two, do not keep it in. Do not keep it in. So one point we say, okay, I'm gonna stop. I'm not going to keep fueling it. I'm not going to give any place to the devil, but I'm just going to keep it right here. This is just between me and me. Right, that's not a possibility. God sees, knows, and he sees all. So there's no way just to keep it in. But Hebrews 12:15 says this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So God's going to give you that grace. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit to speak. But it says here, lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So that person that tries to keep it in, I know I said it wrong, I know I thought it wrong, I know I behaved wrong, but I'm not going to ask forgiveness, I'm not going to deal with it, I'm not going to fuel it, but I'm just going to keep it right here. And if we do that, the Bible says that root of bitterness will spring up in us and choke us out, choke life out, choke spiritual life out. And then it says, and if that happens, many will be defiled. Oh, it's just going to hurt me. Not according to the Bible. If I keep it in and I don't deal with it, and I say, "Oh, it's just me. It's not going to hurt anybody." The Bible says many will be defiled. If I have hidden sin in my life and I haven't dealt with it, I guarantee you it will affect your mate. I guarantee you it will affect your children. I guarantee you it will affect your friends. It definitely will affect the supposed people that you're supposed to reach with the gospel. So that verse is true. Looking diligently, pay attention, and don't let that root of bitterness spring up in you. Get rid of it. Don't keep it in. Peter tried this. You know the story. He was told by Jesus, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no. Not me. All right, Lord, though they slay me, even if they put me in prison, if I die with you right beside of you, I got your back. I'll never turn my back on you. Peter, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And so the first time he said, no, I don't know the guy. You think something went on in here? He remembered what Jesus said. All right, and so as soon as he said it, the Holy Spirit probably convicted him, and he said, I'm not going to deal with it. He should have done it immediately. So it says here, you feel that conviction, that first denial, you just kept it in. Matthew 26:75, listen to what it says. And Peter remembered. He remembered the first time he denied. He remembered the second time, but he kept it in. And he remembered it the third time. It says there, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So that first verse said, if I don't look diligently and get rid of that thing and I keep it inside, that root of bitterness will spring up in me. So because he didn't get rid of it the first time he denied and fix it, he did it again and he didn't fix it. He did it a third time and he didn't fix it. And he remembered that Jesus said, before the cock crows. And so when he went, he went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because it was inside. Get rid of it. Naomi tried to keep it in. Ruth 1:20 says this, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Why? Because she was trying to keep it inside. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. So we see here, first of all, we ought not keep fueling it. Secondly, we ought not keep it in. Ephesians 4:31 says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. In other words, get rid of it. Don't let it stay inside of you. Don't keep on, but put it away. And here's the last one. And this one is James 3:14. But if you have bitter envying, strife in your hearts, glory not. And this is what a lot of people will do. They won't deal with that sin immediately, and they keep it inside, and then they get pretty boastful about it. It's my life. I don't care what my parents say. I don't care this. I don't care that. What do? They're glorying. You can tell me all you want to, but this is just what I'm going to do. They glory in it. And then it says here, and lie not against the truth. I don't care. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I can handle it. It won't hurt me. This is what they do. They lie to themselves, but they need to get rid of the bitterness. So how to deal with sin? First of all, don't keep fueling it. Number two, don't keep it in. And then number three, don't try to keep it hidden. Don't try to keep it hidden. Proverbs 28:13 says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Here's a principle in the Bible. You try to cover your sins, hide your sins. The Bible says he shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. So what we're supposed to do when we're dealing with sin, first of all, we got to admit it. Admit it. And you can see, I remember this as when I was raising my boys. I even remember it when I was a little boy. If you do wrong, it's hard to admit it. Who did that? Did you do that? I mean, it's just in us. We just don't want to admit it. I mean, your sister's standing there bleeding. Who did that? Oh, she must just be clumsy. All right. You know? I didn't put her in the dryer. I didn't push her down the stairs. We just don't want to admit it. So immediately admit it. I did it. It was me. Because the Bible says the person that won't admit it, he's not going to have mercy. But that person that confesses it, but then also, here's a key, you got to stop doing it. Forsake it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses, I did it, and forsake, not going to do it anymore, they shall have mercy. So admit it. Then ask for forgiveness. Praise the Lord for God's forgiveness. And then you have to not only admit it, admit the sin, and ask forgiveness for the sin, you have to act on it. That's how you forsake it. Not only did I do it, I'm sorry, and this is what I'm going to do to keep me from doing it again. That's the three steps we've got to do. I sinned. I'm sorry. And Lord, I am so sorry that I'm going to put these steps into place that I don't do that again. So again, if we have a problem with our mate and we're like fighting, all right, I'm hard-headed. I'm argumentative. I'm admitting it. I am sorry. All right? And so this is what we're going to do to keep from happening. If we see it coming, let's just walk away. This is what I'm going to do to keep it from happening. I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm going to get rid of my phone. I'm going to have a dumb phone that I can call and text so I can't see garbage. That's what I'm going to do to forsake it. So admit the sin. Ask forgiveness for the sin, and then act on that sin. This is what I'm going to do to put it into place so it doesn't hurt me anymore. 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me for my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So if I say, I'm a sinner, I'm sorry for my sin, and this is what I'm going to do not to do it anymore, When God looks at me, He sees a righteous person. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When you take a shower when you're nasty after a ball game or something like that, taking that shower feels awesome. In other words, it's heat on the muscles, yes, but I stink. But now I smell fresh. I tried to think of the worst thing that I ever got, but I couldn't. But I remember one my dad did. I know the shower he took this day had to feel great. We were backed up to a mobile home. We were fixing to move the mobile home. He backed his truck up to it. We hooked it up to it. I was cutting the tie-down straps. I was going around unblocking, and he was walking around, things like that. And he walked to the lid of the septic tank. And the septic tank broke. Boom! And he went this far into the septic tank. He climbed out of it. I mean, he looked nasty. He smelled nasty. I know he had to feel nasty. He said, I'm going to the house. He didn't just say, I'll be all right. It'll go away. No, he went immediately home and took a shower. And so I guarantee you, as he washed all that off of him, who knows how long it had been down there, all right? And we know what was down there. But he got it off of him. He had to feel great. That's what 1 John 1:9 is. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. This is what I'm going to do to not have that happen again. And we're clean. We feel great. So we see here, that's what, by way of introduction, I'll give you my 3 points and we'll be finished. Introduction, how to deal with sin. Immediately. Don't fuel it. Don't keep it in. Don't try to cover it. And we're going to see these three widows, and we've been preaching on Wednesday night out of the book of Ruth here lately, and we got three widows, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. All three of them dealt with their sin or their situation differently. And we alluded to this a little bit last week. We won't take time, but it's found in Ruth 1, 6 through 14. And of course, this is the situation. I'll tell you real quickly. The daughter-in-laws had come to the mother-in-law. She was going to go back to Bethlehem. And they both said, we're going with you. Right? Moab, obviously, is a representation of the world of sin. They wanted to get away from it. And so she was going to go back to Bethlehem. But the thing was, she wasn't right with God. She wouldn't have been bitter if she was right with God. But she was bitter. So she was going back, not to get right with God, just to go back. And if you read the whole story, I believe it's in verse 16, she had heard while she was over here in Moab that they got bread again in Bethlehem. So she was going back to Bethlehem for the same reason she went to Moab for bread, to eat. Okay, so she wasn't getting right. She had kept it in. She was bitter. So what'd she do? Their daughter-in-law said, we're coming with you. And she said, no, you can't. You can't come. What was she doing? She was trying to cover it. Then Orpah, you know the story. She's like, I'm going with you. She said, no, you go home to your mom's house. In other words, she was sending her back to false idols. And so what'd she do? Naomi covered it up. Orpah gave up. She gave up and she went back. And I'm skipping a whole lot of this because we need to get back there to open these bags. But let me just say this. It was advice coming from a backslidden person. Advice to a backslidden person. Don't listen to that. Okay, don't listen to advice from backslidden people. They're not going to tell you the right thing. And so obviously Orpah, she gave up because she was indecisive. Decide. She was like, well, I'm going. Well, no, I'm not. So she was emotional. In verse 8, talked about her mother. In verse 9, talked about her dead husband. And verse 10, talked about her being a widow. So she was emotional. You can't live by feelings. You got to live by faith. But she gave up and stayed. And then last one, Ruth, she stood up. She stood up. She's like, nope, Naomi, I'm going with you. And if you read, I believe it's verse 16, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor turn away from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God will be my God. So she stood up and said, I'm going to take care of this. So we see Naomi tried to cover her sin. Orpah just gave up. But Ruth stood up. And when she stood up, she got this testimony. Let me read you these two verses and I'll be done. Ruth 2, verse 11, it says here, and Boaz said, thou hast fully shown me all, so he saw her testimony, fully shown me all that thou hast done for thy mother-in-law. So when she stood up, she had a testimony. Ruth 4:15. Folks said of Ruth to Naomi, for thy daughter-in-law, which thou lovest, thee, which is better to thee than seven sons. So she had a testimony. Why? Because she stood up and did the right thing. Ruth 2:12. And the Lord recompensed the work of the full reward to be given by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So we see that God even had a good testimony of Ruth. So how do we deal with sin? Don't cover it up. Don't give up, but stand up. And God says, hey, if you'll put me first and you'll confess it, forsake it, put into practice not to do it again, you'll have mercy, you'll be under my protection. So praise the Lord for those testimonies about how to deal with sin. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go fill some bags. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. I just ask you to be with us now. Lord, help us to get a lot accomplished. We ask you, Lord, to be with these tracts, these gifts, Lord, the church name. Lord, we just ask you to take it. Lord, help us see people saved because of it. Help us to see people visit our church because of it. Help people to get encouraged because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Brother Derek's already got the wall down.